Are you awake? Are you listening? Have you cleaned out your ears this morning? Well, someone hadn't cleaned out his ears, but just had. That's good. Today is what's today? Only one person knows what today is. You've forgotten already. It's Easter. Easter Day. Why do people think Easter Day is special? Yes? Because it's the anniversary of the day that Jesus rose from the dead. If your house has a Sunday newspaper today, and if that newspaper is the Sunday Times, that probably means that the paper boy who delivers it has got very sore arms, because the Sunday Times is about that thick. It's very, very thick on a Sunday. But in there, it's got a survey that was done last week to find out if people knew what Easter Day was about. It was interesting how many people didn't know. Now, I'd hope that if they'd have asked you, you'd have been able to say what it was about. But then they asked them another question. What's Good Friday about? Now, do you know that last Friday is called Good Friday? Who knows what Good Friday's about? We'll ask Jonathan first. No, today's Easter Day. Last Friday, Matthew. Jesus was crucified. I'm sure that's what Sam was going to say. Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. Is that a good thing? Why is it a good thing? Why is it good that someone was killed? Matthew. Jesus died to save us from our sins. And not many people know that. Also, not many people know that if you put your feet up on the pew in front, then you're in danger of breaking your back, because you might slip. It's very dangerous. And I hope you don't learn the hard way and end up spending the rest of your life in a wheelchair. Good Friday was the day that Jesus died. He was crucified. That means they took some wood, made it into the shape of a cross, and nailed him onto it. They put the nails through his wrists and through his ankles. It was not very nice. And he died. Do you know what happened after he died? Do you know what they did to him? Yes. Do you know what sort of tomb it was? Let me read a bit to you from Matthew. It's the end of the chapter. Matthew 27. Verse 57. Someone's not listening. I can hear voices. Now, when evening had come, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. The next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples should come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way, make it secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So yes, Jesus was put into a tomb. What was the tomb made from? Well, there's one person listening. What was the tomb made from? Stone. It was hewn out of the rock. So would it be possible for someone to get in through the back door? Why not? Of course there wasn't a back door. If it was carved out of solid rock, there wouldn't be a back door, would they? And also, they had a guard placed on the tomb. Yes? Was it? I've never heard that one before. I'll have to remember that. They put a guard on the tomb and they put a stone across the door of the tomb. Anybody know how big the stone was? Was it that big? Would that stop people getting in? Would it? If the stone was that big, that would stop people getting into the tomb. No? About that big? Lump of solid rock. About that thick? That thick? That thick? That thick? How thick? As thick as it will go. Well, I think it's probably more likely to be about that thick. So it would be very, very heavy. And we know it would be very heavy because some of the women who came on the first Easter day to look after the body of Jesus, they wanted to embalm it properly because they hadn't buried him properly. They were all saying to themselves, who is going to move this stone? This stone is so big! We can't move it. We're just not strong enough. I wonder who's going to move it. And what did they find? Did they find they got there and the guard said, sorry, you've got to go away? Did the guards tell them to go away?
No.
No, someone got it right, but he didn't put his hand up. The guards didn't tell them to go away. Why didn't the guards tell the women to go away? It's a B. Why didn't the guards tell the women to go away? Yes. Correct, they weren't there. The guards had gone. Why have the guards gone? Say it again. Because the angels came down and scared the guards away. And who opened the tomb? No, his hand was up first. God opened the tomb. Yes, well, what were you going to say? You're jumping up and down with your hand up. What were you going to say? You've forgotten already. I don't know. People's memories these days. Who were you going to say, angels? Well, that would be right as well. God sent an angel to open the tomb. So when the women got there, no guards, the tomb was open, they looked in, and what did they find? Nothing. The body had gone. Just the sheets. Just the winding sheet. The way they buried people, they turned them into something like a mummy. Not your mummy. Like an Egyptian mummy. If you've seen an Egyptian mummy, they take a long piece of cloth and they start at the feet and they wind it round and round and round and round and round and round until it gets up to the neck. And then they do a separate winding round the head. And that's how they normally bury people. But that's all they saw. Just the cloth. No body. The body had gone. And they thought, what on earth is happening here? Who has taken the body? And Mary Magdalene, if you read in John chapter 20, was very upset. Someone had stolen the body of her Lord. She was crying, and she met this man in the garden. And she thought it was the gardener. And she said to this man, do you know where they've taken his body so I can go and look after him? Do you know who this man was? I didn't see a hand go up over the side. Yes. It was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And then she knew who it was. Straight away. And so she ran off and told all the Jesus' disciples that he was alive. Now, what do you think the disciples thought when they heard this? Hands up if you know what the disciples thought when they heard Mary say that Jesus was alive.
Yes.
Well, they didn't quite say it was a lie. It was more like, to put it into modern language, you silly woman, you're imagining things. Now, that's not a nice thing to say, is it? That's what they said to her. What a silly, oh, it's a silly woman. They didn't believe her. Was she telling the truth? Yes, she was telling the truth. So she wasn't a silly woman. So when you hear a man talking to someone and saying, you silly woman, it normally means the woman's right and the man's wrong. It's worth remembering that. All you girls, when you grow up, and the men say to you, you're just a silly girl or a silly woman, you can say, well, I know from the Bible that someone was told they were a silly woman and they were the one that was right. And you who are a bit older, you can remember that as well. And I'm sure some of the ladies are thinking, yes, we know how true that is. And the men won't, because the men know it's true and don't want to say anything. So what happened then was that Peter and John went to the tomb and had a look. And they saw that the body had gone. And then they met Jesus as well. Now perhaps Peter and John were neurotic and silly men. But then Jesus appeared to all of the disciples. In fact, Paul says in that passage that Mrs. James read earlier, that more than the disciples saw him, who knows how many people saw Jesus all at once? Did I see a hand go up then? Lloyd? 500, well done. 500 people all at once saw the Lord Jesus Christ alive. Well, perhaps all these people were deceived and deluded. Is it possible that so many could be deceived? Not very likely. In fact, what Paul says is, if you look carefully at the chapter, these are the people who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Most of them are still alive. If you don't believe me, you go and ask them, and they'll tell you as well. Jesus did rise from the dead. Well, of course, people don't want to believe this. People want to believe that Jesus is dead, because they know that if Jesus is alive, then what the Bible says is true. And if what the Bible says is true, then they better do something about it. And they've got to turn away from their sins, and they've got to submit their lives to God. And they don't really want to do that. So instead, what they do is to say, oh, it didn't really happen. It's a myth, it's a story. But it did happen. We have the account of people who were there at the time, who saw him. Other people say, ah, well, yes, Jesus rose from the dead, but it was only in a spiritual sense. He was like a ghost. He didn't really come back from the dead. Well, that's just what the disciples thought. When they first saw Jesus, they thought, this is a ghost. And this is what happened. Jesus appeared to them. They were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. See, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Going to get a broken back? Put your feet down. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe for joy and marvelled, you see, it wasn't that the disciples had invented this. The disciples had difficulty believing it. Jesus had to persuade them. Have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. If Jesus was a spirit, how could he eat some fish? That's silly. Anybody who says, oh, Jesus was only a spirit, he was only a ghost, they can't ever have read the Bible. The Bible says he came back to life physically. You could touch him. You could feel him. You could talk to him. And he could eat food. But some people still don't want to believe it. So what they say is this. Oh, well, what happened was that the guards on the tomb fell asleep. And the disciples came along. They moved the stone without waking the guards. They tiptoed into the tomb. And they carefully unwound all the cloths off of Jesus' body, took his body out, wound up all the cloths again around a body that wasn't there, and then carried him away and dumped the body somewhere. And then having done that, they stood up right in the middle of Jerusalem and said, Jesus is alive, and you should all tell the truth, and you should all turn to God. Well, is it likely that someone would go around telling a pack of lies and then tell people that they should tell the truth, and then, knowing it was a pack of lies, be prepared to die for it? Because many of the early Christians were put to death. The ones who knew the truth were put to death. Peter was killed. Paul was killed. James was killed. Most of them were killed because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't true, surely at least one of them would have said, okay, I'll tell the truth. It was all a big hoax. Jesus died and he remained dead, and we can show you where we stuck his body. We'll go and show you now. But they didn't, because they couldn't, because he did rise from the dead. But the story about the disciples stealing the body was the one that was put around by the Jews at the time, because it was very embarrassing for them. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they could have said, look, this is a lot of nonsense. There's the tomb, there's the body, he's dead. They couldn't. No one ever came up with the body. Ever. Because the body isn't there. The body isn't anywhere on earth now. Jesus went away from the earth. When 40 days after he rose from the dead, he returned to heaven and took that body with him. So he's not here in the world now as a physical body. But it would have been so easy. If they could have found the body, they could have stopped Christianity right at the beginning. No, not true. They couldn't. They can't. And the whole idea about the guards falling asleep anyway is silly. Can you imagine? Here are the disciples. They're already discouraged. They've already run away when Jesus was arrested. And Peter was so brave and so strong that when a servant girl said to him, you're one of his disciples, he said, me? No, never. Nothing to do with the man. That's how brave Peter was. So we're talking about people here who are not very brave at all. And we're being asked to believe that these group of men came along to a crowd of Roman soldiers, great big beefy people, probably bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they walked up to them and gone boom and scared the guards away. Having scared the guards away, then took the body. Well, we've never heard that story. No one's ever told us that one, so it can't be true, otherwise we'd have been told it. Perhaps what happened is this: Jesus didn't really die, and what happened was he was lying in the tomb and he woke up and thought, oh, well, that was a nice sleep. Well, I suppose I'd better get up now. And he walked over to the door and thought, oh dear, there's this huge stone in the way. Well, I'll just knock this out of the way. Perhaps he'd been reading some Superman comics and knew that if you had superhuman powers, you could just push the door like that and off it would go. And he stepped outside and there were the guards, and he looked at the guards and he said, boom! And the guards went, ah! And fell down. And then Jesus walked away, went to his disciples and said, look at me, I've risen from the dead. Is that likely? I think that's somewhat incredible, that a man who has been crucified by the most expert executioners could possibly have survived. Not only have they stuck nails into the wrists, now, you might have heard of people that cut their wrists, who want to kill themselves. It's a horrible way to die. So the main arteries in the wrists would have been severed, a nail through the ankles, and he'd been hanging on a cross for hours. It was very painful. He'd have suffocated to death. And then they'd stuck a spear into his side, and blood and water came out. Not very likely someone's going to survive that, is it? And then when they came up to him, the Jews said, "We want these people dead before the Sabbath begins." Because the Jewish Sabbath begins when the sun goes down on a Friday. They wanted them dead before the Sabbath. They didn't want them hanging on the crosses over the Sabbath. So they said, "Go and break their legs." Because if you break their legs, what happens when you're crucified? You have to push yourself up all the time on your legs to take a breath. Then you go down again. Then you push up again to take another breath. Well, if they've broken your legs, you can't push up anymore. So you just hang there and you suffocate. So they said, "Don't break their legs." So they broke the legs of the two other people that were crucified with Jesus. They came to Jesus, he was dead. They knew he was dead. And we're being asked to believe he wasn't really dead at all. And he revived in the tomb. He would have lost so much blood that it would be impossible for him to do anything, even if he hadn't died on the cross, being laid in the tomb. Then that would have finished him off. Down through the centuries, people have tried to think up lots of different ways in which Jesus could have not died, or that the disciples could have stolen the body, and none of them amount to anything. When you hear someone who says, "Oh, Jesus didn't really die," then you know that that person is a silly person. If he's a man, he's a silly man. If she's a woman, she's a silly woman. Jesus died. And if they say, "Oh, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, the disciples stole the body," or something like that, then you know that that's a silly man, or that's a silly woman. Because Jesus did die, and he did come back to life again. And we know that if it's not true, Paul says in that chapter that was read earlier, if it's not true, then we're all wasting our time. Let's go off and enjoy ourselves. But in fact, Paul says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Everything he said is true. And because it's true, God commands all of us, young and old, to repent, to turn from our sins, and to put our trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And he commands us to do that now. Not next week. Not next month. Not next year. Not when I'm older. He commands us to do it now. And if we do it now, then God will forgive us for all of our sins. And he will take us one day to be with him in heaven forever. But it's only those who repent. Only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only those who submit their lives to him. And then we must also remember, Paul says that Jesus was the first fruits from the dead. All of us, one day, will be raised from the dead. Most of us, probably all of us, one day will die. We'll all be buried. And the burial ground down the road will be our final resting place, until God raises all of us from the dead. And then we must stand before God and give an account of everything we've done. And God knows everything that we've done. That's why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, so that now we can be forgiven. So that when we stand before him, we won't be afraid because of all the things we've done wrong. We will be thankful to God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died as a punishment for our sins, and who was raised from the dead as confirmation of that. So let us look to him and give thanks to him, and to remember that not just today, because it's a special day in the eyes of some, but because it is true always.